faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephen Biscotti, and you're listening to the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Welcome back, everyone, to the Saturday Morning Superman Show, your podcast about Superman in animation across generations. First of all, I have to say I'm always very excited when I get to do these bonus episodes because it means there's something that I'm really just excited about, that I'm enthusiastic about, and something that I need to talk about. And I think that that's the beauty of having a podcast where you have the ability to really just talk about what's meaningful to you, something that's really so important and that's just inspiring you in a way that you want to share it with other people. And because of that, I want to say thank you to all of you that have listened and supported the show for like 2 years now. Back in May of 2019 was when I first started developing the ideas for what a Superman podcast would be and what it would mean to me if I were to do one. And by the end of May 2019, that was when I had developed the idea for the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Again, a podcast about Superman in animation across generations, and which you've now been listening to for almost 2 years now. We began working on it in June 2019. And with the support of my local comic shop, Royal Collectibles in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, to Justin Candelaria, my wonderful co-host and editor of the show, we just really went through Superman the Animated Series Season 1, the Max and Dave Fleischer Superman theatrical shorts, which eventually transferred over to Famous Studios during like the World War II years. And we had so much fun just getting together on an almost daily basis, recording two full seasons worth of shows that we would eventually air. And it was only earlier this year, and more realistically, only a few weeks ago, that we had finished releasing all the episodes that we had done. And that we had recorded over summer 2019. So as of now, we're in uncharted territory. We're about to start work on season 3, which we're both very excited about. And also, as we begin to work on season 3, along with the bonus episodes that we have where we'll be providing commentary for the CW Superman and Lois, and also an upcoming episode about Zack Snyder's Justice League, most of this will probably be closer to real time than what we've done before, because while there are episodes that we just recorded in 2019 that have only been heard this year, there'll probably be a closer relationship between us and you, the audience, where what you're listening to will probably be much closer to when we recorded it. So it should provide a different listening experience and environment in which hopefully we could talk more readily and more reasonably about things that are timely or things that are coming up. And hopefully it'll be just the same good podcast that you enjoy listening to, be it on your Saturday mornings, on your commute to work, while you're at work, possibly. I know there's quite a few people that listen to this while they're at work or while they're on their way home or in breaks between school. I'm specifically referencing you, Ian Bates, you, Ming, and you, Arlo. I know you're three champions of the show and of everything that we do, and it really means a lot. But I'm very excited to be doing this podcast today because almost daily, whenever I wake up and after I just open up my laptop and I begin my work for the day, I normally like to Google things that are important to me, be it Superman, be it Coldplay. More recently, they have a new single that's coming out on May 7th, Higher Power, which I'm really looking forward to. But I'll Google different things that are important just to kind of keep up with headlines, news, and I'll range from all sorts of things from like New York City issues to things that are just fun and sort of superfluous when you look at it in the context of everything going on globally. And so one of those things is always Superman. And I was really excited because when I Googled Superman this morning, I saw that there were new articles that were just recently published within the hour about the upcoming Superman movie that Ta-Nehisi Coates is currently writing and that J.J. Abrams will be producing. And I was just super fascinated by that because while that movie exists in a way that I am looking forward to it, I am very cautiously optimistic about it. And I do have my reservations because, again, I'm all for anything that they do with the character. But personally, if given the opportunity to see a Man of Steel 2 or another Superman feature that would utilize Henry Cavill, that's always going to be the thing that I want more than any other potential Superman project, not including what they're doing with Supergirl. So I was very excited to see that there's new news about this upcoming project that I think a lot of us are all talking about because there's really not that much out there in regards to it. And so immediately on Google, as I'm looking at it on May 5th, you have your highlighted tweets from The Hollywood Reporter, in which this article originated from, and then Aaron Couch, who's, of course, one of their writers, and then at the DCEU, a DC Extended Universe fan page. And so the snapshot, just the snapshot alone is very exciting because according to The Hollywood Reporter, and I quote, "Insiders say Warner's and DC are committed to hiring a black director to tackle what will be the first cinematic incarnation of a black Superman. Directors Barry Jenkins, Stephen Cable Jr., J.D. Dillard, and Regina King and Shaka King are all possibilities." And so just the snapshot alone of that has me super excited, no pun intended, because it's just the complexity of what we're looking at and the complexity of how this character will be recontextualized and redefined for a new generation has me very excited. From the moment that it was announced that Coates would be redeveloping Superman for a film, and that just alone that we would be getting a new Superman film was something that I was very excited about. It was something that I've been very much contemplating over the weeks since the announcement came through, because again, it's something that I don't really know how I feel about it. I'm very excited that Coates is going to be handling Superman, my favorite character of all time, but it's a project in which I wanted to be given a specific kind of care that for me as a Superman fan, I'll feel very rewarded by. And I think that's the experience that we're ultimately going to get. But again, it's just something that, like, if you gave me the option at seeing a Coates Superman movie or another Henry Cavill feature, not even necessarily directed by Zack Snyder, I would choose Cavill. And it's just that I've been a fan of Superman, specifically of Zack Snyder and Henry Cavill's incarnation, since it was first announced in 2011. And so over 10 years, where you've had 2013's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, 2013's Man of Steel, 2016's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and then ultimately this year, Zack Snyder's Justice League. It was a wonderful Superman series that we got that I just wish we would get more from. And again, I do have to fault Warner Brothers so much because I just feel like they grossly mishandled what they had with Superman and what they had with their DC Extended Universe. And that in chasing Marvel and the MCU, they eventually basically just spited themselves and created the world in which we exist in now, where we have to kind of have a soft reboot. We're not going in that same direction. We re-edited and restructured stories and ideas and visions that if people had just only stuck with, it would probably make a whole lot more sense. And there are just all these issues and factors at which I take a major gripe against Warner's. It's something that I don't really like to go into. It's something that I've done a few episodes ago. It's something that I get into quite heatedly during our Zack Snyder's Justice League podcast, which is very explicit. So I'm very sorry. I normally try and keep myself in check as this is a family show. But I am excited for with whatever Coates and Abrams are doing with Superman, just alone that we're getting a new Superman movie on screen. So again, I would like to read that snapshot just to let it marinate in my own head as I do this episode, and just for you to really think about the possibilities that come with this. And again, this is all from The Hollywood Reporter. This is the snapshot that exists on the Google main page. And then we'll explore The Hollywood Reporter article that really, it honestly just came out an hour ago, and it's something that I do want to talk about. So again, quote, insiders say Warners and DC are committed to hiring a black director to tackle what will be the first cinematic incarnation of a black Superman. Directors Barry Jenkins, Stephen Cable Jr., J.D. Dillard, Regina King, and Shaka King are all possibilities. So right there, we're learning that, you know, again, we're getting the first cinematic incarnation of a black Superman. This won't be Ta-Nehisi Coates or J.J. Abrams doing a new version of Clark Kent in the traditional sense from 1938, but that this will be a black version of Superman. And so we won't be getting the traditional, you know, white, black hair, blue eyes Superman, which I'm fine with. That's something that I don't take issue with at all. I'm very much for representation diversity, and I feel that if you're a Superman fan, a Spider-Man fan, from like 1938 to now, from like 1964 to now, you've had so much time to spend with characters like Peter Parker, that when you have a character like Calvin Ellis or Miles Morales, it's time that somebody else has a chance to see themselves in that character. And I've seen myself in Peter Parker and Clark Kent over, you know, the nearly 32 years that I've been on this earth. And so I think it's fun to think that not only will I be inspired and re-energized by a new take on Superman, but that there's going to be a generation of fans that are going to see this movie. And just like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse with Miles Morales, they're going to be inspired by that because they recognize that world. They recognize that person. They see themselves in that character. And I think that the more people that see themselves in Superman, it's only going to keep this mythology growing and continue that visual and oral and written tradition of telling a story about a mythological figure that's somewhat eclipsed even the legends of Hercules, because we're still talking about it and we're still just engaged with this. Whereas so much of these other mythologies, they're still poignant and they're still iconic, but you just don't see them handled on a monthly basis in the way that they exist in comic books, they exist in cartoons, they exist in films and video games. So I'm very excited about a version, an incarnation of Superman that's black. I'm even more excited about the possibilities of who could direct this. When it was first announced, there was a lot of uncertainty if J.J. Abrams would be producing it and directing it, or if he would just be producing it and then taking a step back, kind of like what we've seen with Lovecraft Country, which is done by Misha Green and also produced by Jordan Peele. And I really like Lovecraft Country very much, from Jonathan Majors to Courtney B. Vance to Journey Smollett. I really liked it. I like the more adventure-based episodes, which I want to add that Misha Green is developing the next Tomb Raider movie, and there's a very Indiana Jones kind of episode. It's very Indiana Jones, very Mummy. And so just in seeing the strength of that episode alone, I think with whatever Misha Green does for Tomb Raider, which I think is also like a Warner Brothers venture in of itself alongside MGM, I think it's going to be great. But the directors that are involved with Superman, or at least the possibilities of the people that are being early contenders and speaking with Warner Brothers in regards to the possibilities of tackling Superman, it's amazing. I mean, again, you have Barry Jenkins, Stephen Cable Jr., J.D. Dillard, Regina King, and Shaka King, who is just coming off of Judas and the Black Messiah. And it's exciting to think about the level of talent that you could potentially have on a Superman movie. And it's that tradition of where you had Richard Donner from 1979 to Bryan Singer in 2006 with Returns, And then Zack Snyder across 2013's Man of Steel, 2016's Batman v Superman, and ultimately 2021 Zack Snyder's Justice League. So to have any one of those directors tackle the project is something that I think would be very, very welcome by really not just a Superman fan, but if you love film, if you love cinema, the potential to get someone of that caliber is very, very exciting. Just to think of the director that will bring to life the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates' Superman, I think it's very cool. But here's where it really gets interesting, because the article, again, it just came out on May 5th. It was written by, it was co-written by Tatiana Siegel and Boris Kitt. And they really explore a lot of information about this project that's now just exclusive to them, that you're going to see shotgunned on all the different comic book websites and across Instagram. So hopefully we'll be maybe one of the first podcasts where you're hearing this from. I would love for that to be the possibility, because I would then love for when this movie to come that comes out to say, hey, we've been talking about it since back in 2021. Let me take a look. There's a few different things that I think are worth reading. So I think I'm just going to read some snapshots from the article that I think are really quite fascinating. Again, I'm just reading the words that Tatiana Siegel and Boris Kitt had written for their main article, which is titled Behind Warner Brothers Search for a Black Superman. And so I begin. With that, a whole new guessing game has kicked off centered on who will play the Man of Steel, and arguably more pressing, who will direct. Sources say J.J. Abrams, who's producing the film, is not among the many possibilities being considered. When Warner's announced in February that celebrated author Ta-Nehisi Coates is writing the screenplay and Abrams is producing, it did not address the matter of helming. But insiders say Warner's and DC are committed to hiring a black director to tackle what will be the first cinematic incarnation of Superman featuring a black actor, with one source adding that putting Abrams at the helm would be, quote, tone deaf. And I have to add on to that. I believe it would be. I think, you know, if you like think of a movie like Black Panther or the upcoming Shang-Chi, if you were to not have a black director do Black Panther, or if you were to not have an Asian director do Shang-Chi, I think it would be tone deaf. And I'm not discounting that there are many wonderfully talented white American directors like J.J. Abrams or Zack Snyder or Christopher Nolan or even Patty Jenkins. But I just feel like there's a voice that needs to be brought to a project, especially one that's celebrating a diversity that we have not yet seen before. And I think that that's something that's very exciting that will just add it to just another level of cinematic language that exists in a very relevant way. And I think that that's something that's very, very important. Hell, I would say that if there were actual aliens from Krypton, that you should probably get a Kryptonian to direct a Superman movie, because it's just who better to tell that story when it's coming from such an authentic voice. Also, I have a love and hate relationship with J.J. Abrams. I really very much enjoyed Alias. I enjoyed the first few seasons of Lost up until when Michelle Rodriguez was killed off, and then I decided I just would never watch it again. And then I tried to tune back into it, and it was just a mess. So I'm sorry if you really love Lost and you stuck with it from beginning to end and think it's the greatest TV show ever. Because you know what? If you think it's the greatest TV show ever, I don't think you're wrong. I just don't think it is, but that doesn't make me right, and that doesn't make me wrong either. So I think we could agree that we're both right in our own ways. But J.J. Abrams is somebody that I feel like sometimes his greatest strength is when he tells a singular story, but if he tries to tell anything beyond that, it becomes evident that he sort of gets bored along the way, and you could kind of see it in his writing and his directing. I think Star Trek 2009... is one of his strongest movies that he ever did. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And then I also really like Super 8. And I think Super 8 is another great film. But if you look at like the last Star Wars movie, I did not like it. And I felt that in J.J. Abrams' filmography, it was just a very weak entry. And especially coming off of that, I feel like, you know, everybody deserves another shot. And, you know, there's so many different reasons behind something not working. But I would be very weary about having J.J. Abrams tackle Superman. I know it's a character that he's been associated with before, from back when it was Superman Flyby, which was, I think, the early to mid 2000s. And I know that he had like this radical take on the character that I feel like it could have worked. It might not have worked, but I would just prefer him not to be a part of it. And so as the article continues, it says the formalist can include Creed II, Stephen Caple Jr., J.D. Dillard, Regina King, who got raves for a drama One Night in Miami, and Chaka King, who is popular at Warner's thanks to Best Picture Oscar nominee Judas and the Black Messiah. Some potential directors have met with both studios for both films. This is in regards to directors meeting with Marvel Studios in regards to Blade with Mahershala Ali and also Superman for Warner Brothers and DC. So aside from Stephen Caple Jr., J.D. Dillard, Regina King, and Chaka King, who are more Superman-centered, the directors that are now being listed are people that could potentially direct either Blade or Superman. And again, it's just so, quote, phenomenally early in the process that it's possibilities, but then also when an eventual director is announced, it could be somebody that's we haven't even mentioned, as probably will be the case. But again, it's just, it's worth, you know, considering. And I think that that's something that is very exciting to know that there are potential directors that have met with both studios for both films. And I, you know, just imagine, you know, again, we're going to be getting a Blade movie, which I think, you know, as a Monsters fan, as a fan of the original movies, I'm super excited for. I think, you know, everything that Mahershala Ali is doing with that is going to be just very just so well done. And then also, I'm really proud to say that Stacey O.C. Kufour, who's penning the script, she's from New York, and she's got a very literate background, a theater background, and she's just a very smart author. And I can't wait to see how she develops a film based on 70s Marvel horror. I think that this is something that could potentially be even more closer to the Blade of the Tomb of Dracula series than we've ever seen before. And I love the Wesley Snipes Blade Trinity so much. I actually just recently rewatched them not all that long ago. But while I've been reading Tomb of Dracula, I just think that that would be super exciting to see something that's very much more driven by that than anything else. And so it's so early, but the article by Siegel and Kit does go on to say that Coates isn't expected to deliver his Superman script until mid-December. And so I think that, especially, you know, we're in May, we're still, you know, quite some time out from December, about like 6 months out from December. And so he's currently working on this. And I can imagine that he's drawing from his comic book knowledge, from the animated series, from the previous films, and from just timely events that are happening right now that are absolutely that they have to inform a story like Superman, because Superman has to represent us globally. He has to represent the best of us, and he has to inspire us. And also, with it being that sense of truth, justice, and the American way, if you will, it has to represent the best and worst of us in the society and world in which Superman exists in, be it from Krypton or Metropolis. So whatever Coates is working on, I wish I could, I wish I could be sitting with him right now and just saying, you know, just let's talk about Superman. Like, what are you thinking about the character? I don't need to know any specifics. I don't want to see any script pages, but I just want to know, like, how does this character exist in your imagination right now? And so aside from everything that Coates is doing with Superman, we don't really know a director. We don't know of anyone that could potentially be starring in it. You know, of course, Brandon Routh, he was an unknown when he starred in Bryan Singer's Superman Returns, as with Henry Cavill in 2013's Man of Steel. So you know, it would be exciting to know that we would get a new talent, somebody that's up and coming to take on the role of Man of Steel. So it's something that they can grow with, as opposed to getting somebody who's a much bigger name. On Instagram and in a previous episode, I did reference that I would love to see John David Washington play Superman. And I think it would be even more exciting that not only to have John David play Superman, but have Denzel play Jor-El. I think that would be really cool to have both father and son exist on screen together, but also play father and son. I think that's something that's like almost like a match made in Hollywood, you know, heaven. It would just be so cool to have that. And for me, I'm fairly new to the work of John David. I loved him in Tenet. I think he's really cool. But I've been a Denzel guy since I was a kid. And, you know, we're talking about Glory, you know, Devil in a Blue Dress, Virtuosity, The Siege, you know, just Denzel, man. I just can't tell you how much I would love to see Denzel, who is a Warner Brothers guy, be in a Superman movie. I think that would just be just... It could potentially be one of my favorite versions of Superman, just to know that if we had those two actors in it, I would be very, very, very excited by it. And what's also very exciting about the movie is that they're acknowledging that it's not going to be in the Snyderverse, that it's not going to be, especially even within that post-Snyder world of Aquaman 2, any upcoming Wonder Woman movie, anything that The Flash is doing, that you can argue that it exists in that multiverse that's being developed now, where you have Robert Pattinson as the Batman exist in the same universe that Ben Affleck exists and Christian Bale exists. But it's just to say that they're doing its own film, that in the way that Matt Reeves is the Batman is its own Batman film in its own universe and world. This Superman movie that Coates and Abrams are developing is meant to exist as its own Superman world. And this is where I feel like Warner Brothers did learn from their previous mistake. They did Man of Steel. They then threw that Superman into a much bigger universe, which wasn't bad. It's something that I enjoyed, but that Superman deserved to have his own trilogy. He deserved to have his own universe free of everything else. And so we didn't get that. And we ended up getting three movies that sort of heavily shortchanged and robbed Henry Cavill of the proper legacy that he's deserved. But in what we're going to get with Robert Pattinson with the Batman, and with what we're going to get with Coates and Abrams' version of Superman, at least it's going to right the wrongs of what came before. And that's something that at least I can say, all right, at least show me that you're learning from your mistakes, because I want to have a Superman on screen that I could be excited about, that I could see that world flourish over the course of, you know, three films tops. Just give me a complete trilogy untethered to anything else. That's what I would really, really like. But there's some really exciting things that the article begins to talk about. And I think even more excitingly than any potential director like Jenkins or King potentially doing Superman, it's the fact that it explores what exactly Coates is developing. And this goes back to my conversation earlier where I said, I would love to sit in a room with Coates, Superman fan to Superman fan, and just say, let's just talk about what we love about the character. So again, I'm quoting the words of Tatiana Siegel and Boris Kitt from their article from The Hollywood Reporter, which just came out today on May 5th. And it's, quote, "The Superman film appears to be moving onto its own track and won't be part of the universe as of now. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that Coates is crafting a Kal-El in the vein of the original Superman comics and will have the protagonist hail from Krypton and come to Earth. While the story is currently being crafted and many details could change, one option under consideration is for the film to be a 20th century period piece." Now tell me that doesn't sound like the best Superman film ever. Just alone that we now have more of a solid confirmation and understanding that it is going to be Kal-El and it is going to be Krypton and it is going to be in the vein of the original Superman comics, that has me very excited. there was some rumors of a little while ago where it had posited a theory or a rumor more so that Coates and Abrams were potentially going to just create a whole new Superman, and not even like the Calvin Ellis version, which was actually inspired by Barack Obama in the comic books. But it was talked that they were just going to create a whole new character that would have the mantle of Superman, but it would be its own thing. And I thought, you know, I don't really know about that. I don't really think I want to see that. I want to see Clark Kent. I want to see Kal-El. You know, and if we don't even necessarily see Clark Kent, if it's Kal-El who becomes Calvin Ellis, I'm fine with that. But I want to see that version of Superman exist. I don't want to see someone made up from scratch that has no bearing from the comic books. And I think that, yeah, you can argue that it speaks to the creativity and the vision that you can create a character from scratch, which I think is vital. But if you're going to do that, create a new character. You know, like you should create a new character and give it its own name. There's an argument to be made for why I'm probably right and why I'm probably wrong. But as a Superman fan, I want to see Clark Kent. I want to see Kal-El. I don't really care if he's white, if he's black, if he's Hispanic, if he's Asian. It doesn't really matter to me. I just want to see this character represented on screen. And if he has all the abilities of flight, strength, and he's just good for the sake of being good, I just want to see that. It's almost like the same thing with like Sam Wilson. I'm so excited for a Captain America 4 because I just want to see Sam Wilson as Captain America. I think he's great. And he stands right up there alongside the Steve Rogers version of Captain America. So the two things that really have me most excited about is that Kal-El in the vein of the original Superman comics. And if you go back to the original Superman comics from 1938 that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created, he was a very raw, strongman, social justice warrior. He was a, quote, champion of the oppressed. And he would stand up for people that were being bullied. He would stand up for people being marginalized. He would stand up for what's right. He would defend battered and beaten women. He would take on criminals and abusive husbands and stuff like that. And he was just taking on people where, you know, somebody would be in trouble. He would burst in through the wall, knock the guy out, and then, you know, save the day. And it was like, just quite frankly, it was just like really a rawness to Superman that you don't really necessarily get anymore. And it's that Superman that can exist in 1938 America, because it's just, it's a representation of that Superman strongman quality, right down to the fact that he essentially was a strongman in nature of how he dressed with the tights on. Now, it was in 2005, I want to say. I think it was in the year 2005. Or it might have been 2006 that the author Tom DeHaven wrote a story called It's Superman. Now, It's Superman is one of my favorite novels, period, because it's just such a wonderfully, weirdly, brilliantly written and intelligent take on Superman that revitalizes him as a Depression America hero. And he always was a Depression era hero, you know, 1938 and where he existed going so forward into that. But that's a Superman that we've never seen depicted on camera. We've never seen Clark Kent, Kal-El grow up in Depression-era America, who essentially becomes a strong man and because of his abilities and then starts to elevate and move up. And not saying that this is something that Coates is doing, but the idea that we're getting Coates crafting Kal-El in the vein of the original Superman comic books, and that there is consideration for it to be a 20th century period piece. Imagine what a Superman movie could look and feel like if it's set in the 20th century, let's say 1930s, and you have a black man as Superman that's existing in the world and a champion of the oppressed. Just imagine the possibilities and the nuances of the character that Coates could explore, that you're not just the most powerful man in the world and you're black, but also you're just a black man existing in the world at this time in history. And there's so much that he can just give to the character. And I think there's an opportunity to really make a statement on the character that really exemplifies Superman as the most hopeful, most powerful, most humble and most optimistic character ever, that despite any adversity and challenges that exist on this planet or another planet,
He just doesn't give up. And now just imagine that that's being played by John David. You're there, right? You're buying the ticket to see John David and Denzel Washington exist in a Superman 20th century period piece that could potentially be directed by Barry Jenkins. I mean, come on, like, you want to see that movie, right? But I think it's very exciting to think of all the possibilities that we're going to be getting with Superman. I love so much so that this could potentially be a 20th century period piece. That's the Superman that I want to see on screen. I would love to see a 1938 Man of Steel picture. And just give me that, you know, just give me that. And I'll still be disappointed about not having Henry Cavill, but at least it won't hurt as much. And just give me a Superman ultimately that I could believe in and give something that a new generation could be inspired by. I think that that's the biggest hurdle that has to be addressed in tackling a new Superman movie. But that does it for this episode of the Saturday Morning Superman Show. I'm very excited to report on this news. I hope you enjoy listening to what I had to say, and I hope maybe this inspires you to rethink about how Superman could exist in your own life or in your own imagination. And let's not even get into the conversation about tokenism or anything like that. Just give us a Superman that's cool and badass and that feels true to who he is. And does it really matter if he doesn't have white skin or black hair or blue eyes? I love Superman. I have black hair. I don't have blue eyes. My skin isn't really all that white, and I'm not 6 foot something. So you know what? I'm going to see Superman in anyone. In fact, I'm probably going to see myself in Sasha Kaye's Supergirl, which I cannot wait for. And again, can we acknowledge that we have a Colombian actress playing Supergirl representing Krypton and the Kryptonians in that way? I can't wait for The Flash. And it's not so much that I want to see The Flash, it's that I want to see Supergirl. I want to see Supergirl on the big screen. I want the action figures. I want the statues. I want the posters. I want to be sitting in the theater for her first debut movie. I cannot wait for that. And that's the Superman fan that I am. I just want to support all of these wonderful ambassadors that will eventually take on the character that I love and that I'm inspired by. So thank you so much for listening to the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Again, I hope you're very inspired to just rethink about the character and what he means to you, and to go out in the world and just to be peaceful. As always, the Saturday Morning Superman Show can be listened to on Podbean, CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify. Especially give some love to Podbean and us on Podbean. It's my favorite and most preferred platform. So we're over 1,000 downloads now on it. We're very proud about that. And I just hope you enjoy it. And also, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to give us a comment. I admit, I'm not always the quickest to respond on comments on Podbean or any of the channels, because the interactivity is a little more challenging than me opening up my laptop and being able to just respond. But trust me, I will respond to every comment, and it just really feels good to know that somebody's listening and somebody's enjoying. So again, be peaceful, and until next time, up, up, and away.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.